Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 11, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about BTC locked in DeFi increased by 20x the entire Lightning Network this week. Diginex going public is about more than a NASDAQ ticker symbol. ECB President, Europe has fallen behind in the digital payments game. Good for Bitcoin? U.S. Senate rejects stimulus without $1,200 checks. Tesla stock TSLA chart resembles Bitcoin bubble in 2017, says analyst. SushiSwap co-founder sees future users in China and on other blockchains. Now let's get started. BTC locked in DeFi increased by 20x the entire Lightning Network this week. Despite the recent mini price crash, DeFi users have injected more than 20,000 Bitcoin into DeFi projects in the last week, suggesting the DeFi bull run isn't over. The amount of BTC locked in decentralized finance projects increased by more than 30% in the past week, despite falls in the price of Bitcoin BTC and Ether ETH. USD's total value locked, or TVL, can go up and down with markets, even in the absence of a change in the number of tokens locked. In the past week, the TVL dropped from its all-time high of $9.6 billion on September 2 to $6.1 billion on September 10 before climbing back to $7.8 billion. According to DeFi tracking platform DeFi Pulse, the amount of locked BTC increased from 67,038 BTC, $694 million, on September 2 to the current all-time high of 87,752 BTC, $904 million, representing an increase of 30.9%. That's an increase equivalent to 20 times the BTC locked in the Lightning Network. More than 50%, 51,295 BTC, of the locked Bitcoin sits on Ethereum in WBTC, which accounted for 63% of the BTC growth since September 2, locking an additional 13,000 WBTC on the network. RenVM, which also allows users to tokenize their BTC on Ethereum, holds 17,630 BTC locked, growing by more than 2,500 BTC since the start of the month. In contrast, Bitcoin's Lightning Network accounts for only 1.2%, 1,061 BTC, of the total BTC locked in DeFi. The BTC locked on the Lightning Network grew by just 4 BTC, or less than 0.02% of BTC's total growth, so far in September. The 198 BTC added to the Lightning Network since the start of the year represents a growth of 23% and is dwarfed by WBTC's addition of over 50,000 BTC this year, representing growth of over 8,600%. Despite 600,000 Ether being removed from DeFi protocols, Bitcoin is still in a distant second place. It accounts for less than half the $2 billion USD value of Ethereum's 5.6 million locked coins. In total, almost 5% of Ethereum's circulating supply is now locked in DeFi. Diginex going public is about more than a NASDAQ ticker symbol. Blockchain services firm Diginex could be a publicly traded company by September 23. The firm's backdoor listing on NASDAQ is happening more quickly than a regular initial public offering, IPO, but the company which is behind the Equos.io crypto exchange is cautiously making sure it's flush with capital before it lists. Diginex CEO Richard Byworth said the firm's public listing will give it more transparency than other exchange operators that mistreat customers with poorly structured liquidations and exorbitant fees. Some of these guys are offering a ridiculous 250 times levered product, Byworth said. At that point, it's quite easy to be able to map where liquidations can happen if the price of Bitcoin gets to that level. The exchange will still be relying on other private exchanges as references for pricing data on levered products, but Byworth said public filings will give non-crypto traders more confidence to enter the market. Diginex is not the only crypto exchange company to be rushing into the public markets. INX has already launched its own initial public offering on the Ethereum blockchain, which retail and institutional investors can follow on Etherscan. Hong Kong-based Diginex's path to the Nasdaq involves plans to merge with publicly traded 8i Enterprises Acquisition Corp., a British Virgin Islands-based blank check company, after a final shareholder vote later this month. If all goes as planned, Diginex should bypass many of the usual regulatory barriers associated with an IPO and list on Nasdaq around September 23, said Byworth, a former investment banker. Earlier this week, Diginex announced $20 million in funding from four family offices and one hedge fund in Asia and Europe. As part of the acquisition deal, i8 agreed to redeem at least $15 million to add to the private raise, giving Diginex a reserve of $35 million. One of the firm's private equity investors introduced the firm to a number of special purpose acquisition company SPAC managers before Diginex found i8 in May of last year, Byworth said. Obviously, it did take some time for the SEC to get their heads around it, he told CoinDesk in an interview, referring to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Byworth said i8 expects to exceed $15 million easily. That round goes all the way to this weekend when we'll know how many investors redeemed and how much cash is coming to us, he added. While Diginex's Equos.io is certainly not a top-tier exchange, going public is noticeable. The Nasdaq listing would raise its profile among investors and potential customers, said George Zarya, CEO of digital asset services firm Bequant. Diginex competes with Bequant, which offers crypto custody, multi-venue trading and an investment banking advisory arm based in the UK. While private equity will likely continue to be the main source of funding for crypto startups, the main reason for using SPACs is the speed, and there will likely be more cases of it, Zarya said. From now until the company lists, Diginex will be focused on making sure investors understand the company's business model. This is a really important inflection point for us, Byworth told CoinDesk, adding, "It's really important that we make sure investors understand the value proposition of Diginex and ways we've been designed to produce best outcomes for the industry." ECB President, Europe has fallen behind in the digital payments game. A European Central Bank (ECB) panel tasked with exploring a central bank digital currency, CBDC, is set to reveal its findings in the near future, followed by a public consultation, said ECB President Christine Lagarde. Speaking at the Deutsche Bundesbank's conference on banking and payments in the digital world Thursday, Lagarde addressed the competition to dominate payments on a global scale and considerations for a Eurozone retail CBDC. Lagarde said a digital euro would allow the bloc to be at the cutting edge of innovation, but the lack of payments integration in Europe indicated that foreign providers have taken the lead. Economies around the world are looking into CBDCs and the creation of digital payment ecosystems, while China has become a leader in the space. Europe has fallen behind in this competition, Lagarde said. The ECB set up a task force in early 2020 to explore what a digital euro would look like. In May, ECB executive board member Yves Mersch told CoinDesk that the task force was specifically looking into a retail CBDC, one that could be used by the public to purchase goods and services as opposed to a wholesale currency that can only be used by financial institutions. Lagarde confirmed this at Thursday's event. Digital wholesale money is not new, as banks have been able to access central bank money for decades. But new technology can be used to make settling financial transactions more efficient. It also opens the possibility of a retail CBDC, which would be very innovative in that it would be accessible to a wide audience, Lagarde said. Retail CBDCs. According to Lagarde, a digital euro would be a complement to and not a substitute for cash. Europe will continue to ensure that all its citizens have access to banknotes at all times, Lagarde said, adding that the two combined would support financial inclusion and offer consumers a choice. The second consideration for introducing a digital euro is risk assessment, Lagarde said. In her view, if enough bank deposits are converted to digital euro, it will change the way the traditional banking sector supplies money to the economy as well as the way in which the ECB will have to implement monetary policy. We need to ensure that a digital euro, in the event that it is introduced, is designed in a way that contains these risks, Lagarde said. Lastly, a digital euro would need to be designed to meet public demand for digital payments, without damaging private payment solutions, Lagarde added. Lagarde said central banks inspire more trust in people compared to commercial banks, referring to a recent survey by the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, and stood by a previous statement that the ECB will play an active role in the creation and issuance of a CBDC. It would have to embrace the respective strengths of both the Eurosystem and the private sector to ensure that the payments landscape remains competitive and innovative, Lagarde said. Europe still hasn't made a decision on whether to introduce a digital euro, Lagarde said. But according to her, the findings of the task force are due soon, and the region will continue to explore the benefits, risks and operational challenges of a CBDC. We have a duty to play an active role in balancing the risks and benefits of innovation in payments, so that money continues to serve Europeans well, Lagarde said. Good for Bitcoin? U.S. Senate rejects stimulus without $1,200 checks. The Senate rejected a skinny $500 billion stimulus package, but for Bitcoin and stocks, it could be a good thing in the medium term. The United States Senate rejected the new stimulus proposal on SEP.10, which did not include a new round of $1,200 checks. However, this boosts the chances of a new proposal with individual checks getting approved, and could serve as a catalyst for Bitcoin BTC. Why was the stimulus proposal rejected, and why could it be a good thing? The new proposal, dubbed a skinny stimulus bill, was rejected with a 52-47 Senate vote. Republican Senator Rand Paul, along with Senate Democrats, blocked the new package that did not include $300 billion for stimulus checks. Both Republicans and Democrats rallied for a new round of direct stimulus checks in recent months. When a bill without small business support and individual checks was presented, the Senate rejected it. There is a high probability that the Senate would approve a bill that includes direct payments by the month's end. If the bill had gone through with no direct payments, it would have not had much impact on stocks, with which Bitcoin has shown a tight correlation since the March crash. In May, the data aggregation company Investnet Yodlee found that many Americans used their stimulus checks to invest in stocks. At the time, Yodlee President Bill Parsons stated, "There's clearly a correlation between COVID and people being reengaged with their money." Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, similarly shared data suggesting individuals were buying Bitcoin with their checks. The percentage of deposits equal to $1,200 significantly spiked after April from 0.1% to 0.4%, by nearly fourfold. But if a revised package gets through in the future with individual checks, it could once again put buying pressure on the stock market and the price of Bitcoin. Bipartisan Policy Center executive Bill Hoagland said the Senate might consider a new proposal by the end of September. He said, "If the FEMA money is gone, you're going to cut off even the $300 that's being made available now. That may be the only spark I see that would energize both Republicans and Democrats to do something, maybe before the end of the month." Economists say direct checks are essential. Economists are pushing the government to introduce another round of direct payments due to its effectiveness. Natalie Foster, the co-chair of the Economic Security Project, said direct payments are the fastest way to provide financial support. Foster told CNBC, "Direct checks are the most effective, fastest way to support American families. In the last 6 months, we received one $1,200 payment, which is not enough." The Senate is unlikely to pass a proposal unless it includes individual checks and a package for small businesses. For tech stocks and the price of Bitcoin, the Senate pushing for additional direct payments could become a bullish catalyst. Tesla stock TSLA chart resembles Bitcoin bubble in 2017, says analyst. An analyst says the Tesla stock chart looks similar to the weekly fractal of Bitcoin in 2017 when it achieved $20,000. Julian Bridgen, the co-founder of the macroeconomic research firm MI2 Partners, believes Tesla stock TSLA shows signs of a bubble. He compared the stock Bitcoin BTC in 2017 when it hit $20,000 and dropped 58% in 2 months. From the yearly high to the month's bottom, TSLA price dropped by 33.74%. The stock has recovered in the past 48 hours, posting a considerable recovery of 12.46%. Uncannily similar fractal between the Tesla stock price chart and Bitcoin price chart. Bridgen shared a chart of Tesla stock with a fractal of Bitcoin's weekly chart from 2016 to 2019. He demonstrated some of the technical similarities between the two charts and explained, what defines a bubble? A great story is essential. In fact, the better the story, the bigger the bubble. Then lots of liquidity and finally a classic bubble chart. For example, hash Bitcoin in 2017. In TSLA we have all three. While the similarities between the Tesla and Bitcoin charts exist, there are several key differences. First, the chart compares the daily chart of Tesla stock to the weekly chart of BTC. Second, Tesla, as a public company, is fundamentally different from Bitcoin, a digital peer-to-peer network. Moreover, Bitcoin is becoming increasingly seen as a store of value, often referred to as digital gold. Investors, both institutions and individuals, utilize BTC as a means to store and transfer value. For instance, MicroStrategy purchased $250 million worth of Bitcoin on August 11, adopting it as the firm's primary treasury asset. In contrast, Tesla is the world's most valuable carmaker whose stock price massively depends on the company's performance. But while there may be technical similarities between the Bitcoin and Tesla charts, especially since the correlation between BTC and stocks hit new highs this summer, fundamental factors likely affect the TSLA stock more than technicals. In the near term, analysts say Tesla has three main catalysts that could aid the stock's recovery. Credit Suisse analyst Dan Levy outlined the three factors as S&P 500 inclusion, battery technology day, and stock split. On September 22, Tesla is expected to host Battery Technology Day. Analysts expect Tesla to announce a long-lasting and better-performance battery technology. Variables such as the release of new technologies and an S&P 500 inclusion of the Tesla stock in the medium term could lead to the stock's recovery. At the same time, some analysts have predicted inclusion in the S&P 500 may see significant challenges solely due to the size of Tesla. Levy said on September 2, "Of course, there is no guarantee Tesla will be included in the next ad given challenges in adding a company of Tesla's size. As such, an argument could be made that the Tesla stock's pullback was expected, and was largely intensified by the Nasdaq's recent slump." What do analysts say about the long-term outlook of BTC? The chart of Bitcoin in late 2017 is often used to compare with other charts portraying vertical rallies. Since the initial run up to $20,000, BTC has mostly consolidated between $6,000 and $10,000 on higher time frames. Recently, it briefly surpassed the $12,000 resistance level and is now showing strength in the ability to remain above $10,000. Some investors, including Three Arrows Capital CEO Su Xu, said he was surprised by the stability of BTC above $10,000, expressing optimism towards its macro price trend. SushiSwap co-founder sees future users in China and on other blockchains. Within a week of going online, DeFi project SushiSwap's total value locked, TVL, surpassed $1.5 billion. At its peak, it made up almost 70% of liquidity on the decentralized exchange Uniswap. SushiSwap only took 7 days to launch. SushiSwap co-founder 0x Maki, later referred to as Maki, once proudly said, "It took Uniswap 2 years to get to where it is today. It only took us 7 days." SushiSwap's founding team is extremely small, with only 3 people. Chef Nomi, later referred to as Chef, SushiSwap and 0x Maki. The first two are responsible for code and product development, while the latter is responsible for growth and operations. Last Saturday, SushiSwap co-founder Chef suddenly sold all the tokens that were supposed to be used for a development fund without notifying the community. This move sparked dissatisfaction and doubt in the community, and Sushi's price plummeted. As doubts in the community continued to grow, Chef decided to transfer the admin keys to FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, later referred to as Sam, and left a message saying, "I am a good person." After Sam took over the management key, he and Maki organized the code migration and multi-signature validator voting. SushiSwap has since completed migrating its users' funds from Uniswap and turned control over to 9 well-respected users who can approve changes and expenditures as a group. Earlier this week, CoinDesk China published an exclusive interview with Maki, the only remaining SushiSwap founding team member. The interview, which is slightly edited, covers Maki's opinions on Chef's sale of the development funds and Sam's management authority, as well as SushiSwap's development plan after Chef's departure. CoinDesk China. Let's start with a self-introduction. Who are you, and what do you do in SushiSwap? Maki. I am a full-stack engineer, but in SushiSwap I am responsible for growth and operations. For the time being, I don't want to disclose too much about my real identity. If it becomes necessary later, I will disclose it. Now it is too early. CoinDesk China. In your opinion, why did SushiSwap explode online? Maki. On the first day we went online, we had the QuantStamp audit report, which contained no major defects. The security audit report is very helpful to the growth of our TVL. CoinDesk China. What are your short-term goals? Maki. Our short-term goal is to successfully complete the migration. This is very important. Note, the migration was completed on Wednesday. Later we will discuss governance with the community, in order to make the project develop smoothly and not fail. We will also optimize the user interface UI of SushiSwap, such as launching a Chinese UI, introducing more traders, and adding features that Uniswap does not have. More important, we will start integrating with other DeFi protocols. For example, the integration with RenBTC's native system, which would allow users to directly convert BTC to RENBTC on SushiSwap. Another example is that if we integrate with 1inch, they can route more transactions to us because we have better liquidity. I am a believer in Ethereum, but I am open-minded about other public chains as well. I also hope to launch SushiSwap on public chains like Polkadot and Solana. We want to create the best, most user-friendly DEX. CoinDesk China. When did you first start learning about cryptocurrency and blockchain? Maki. As early as 2013, someone introduced me to Bitcoin. CoinDesk China. Why did you decide to join SushiSwap? Maki. After reading a SushiSwap article on Medium, I felt that community Uniswap is an indispensable part of the DEX ecosystem, so I contacted Chef and expressed my willingness to join. When I joined, staking, migration and governance contracts were all ready. Chef did not give me GitHub permissions, so I started directly preparing to work on market and operations. My work at SushiSwap is completely voluntary. Now I only hold ETH and YFI. I don't have Sushi tokens, nor participate in Sushi liquidity mining. I value the success or failure of SushiSwap more than personal gains and losses. I have participated in YAM and YFI mining. Although I have not yet reached financial freedom, I am not short on money. CoinDesk China. What is your personal opinion of Uniswap? Maki. I think Uniswap is very good. Its founder Hayden Adams is a person I really admire. I think we will coexist with Uniswap. There definitely will be multiple players on this track. In addition to Uniswap and SushiSwap, there will be other DEXs as well. CoinDesk China. Do you personally know Chef? Are Chef and SushiSwap the same person? Maki, I saw SushiSwap's introduction article on Medium, and after finding it very interesting I joined its Discord group. I was the third person to join, after Chef and SushiSwap. I don't think they are the same person, but they are probably two people who know each other in real life. CoinDesk China, many people on the internet are saying, Chef is actually FTX CEO Sam, is that true? Maki, no, Sam joined later. I don't believe Chef and Sam are the same person. CoinDesk China, are you disappointed by what Chef did? Maki, Chef sold all the tokens that were supposed to be used for a development fund, which is very surprising. At the beginning, Chef said that he didn't come to make fast money, he was thinking about the community. I now think he's all talk, and I am not sure of his original intention. In the end he cashed out, but he also transferred the administrator authority to Sam, but his behavior caused the price of the Sushi token to plummet. CoinDesk China, do you think Chef and SushiSwap contributed to the project? Maki, they just copied Uniswap and Yam's code. I don't think they invested a lot in this project. They were more thinking about how to make fast money, without a long-term vision. But I still thank them for giving me an opportunity to participate in this project, though it is forked out of other projects. I think SushiSwap could be made into a great project, so I am willing to continue to support it. In the Ethereum community, I've also met a lot of great people, they have always encouraged me and we will continue to build this project together. CoinDesk China, after Sam took over management authority, what was the division of labor between you and Sam? Maki, later I will guide the development of the entire project. It is up to the community to make decisions, I only make suggestions. CoinDesk China, what is your opinion of Sam's management authority? Maki, I am satisfied with the result. At the very beginning, Chef said he wanted to give management authority to me, but I wasn't very confident in my own technical strength. I wasn't sure that I would be able to make SushiSwap's migration a success. Later, I suggested that Chef consider giving management authority to Andrew Kong or Sam. They both have a better understanding of technology, and are also very interested in this project. Sam also holds a lot of sushi, so he is financially motivated to do a good job in operating and managing this project. After the migration is completed and the multi-signature board of directors is determined, I think he will transition from the role of administrator to an ordinary community member. After that, I will mainly be responsible for leading this project to the next stage. Slowly, I will also fade out and gradually decentralize this project. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.